Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Reign of Athaliah, as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 23, verse 12. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Now when Athaliah, this wicked queen mother, heard the noise of the people running about and praising the king, she came to the people into the house of the Lord, and she looked, and behold, the king was standing at his pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king, and all of the people of the land were rejoicing and were sounding with the trumpets, and also the singers and the instruments of music, and those that were taught to sing the praises. Then Athaliah tore her clothes and cried, "Treason! Treason!" So Jehoiada the priest brought out the captain of the hundreds that were set over the host, and he said to them, "Take her out of the range of the temple." Get her out of the range of this place. "And whoever follows her to support her, put him to death. And let her be slain with a sword." For the priest said, "Don't slay her here within the temple. Take her out of the range of the temple. Anybody tries to support her, kill him. And slay her with a sword outside." So they laid hands on her, and when she was come to the entering of the horse gate by the king's house, there they slew her. And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all of the people and between the king that they should be Jehovah's people. So here again is hope. With a spiritual reform, the nation had sunk through the wicked influence of the two previous kings, Jehoram and Ahaziah. They had been defeated by their enemies. And so a new covenant, a renewal of their commitment to the Lord, "We will be Jehovah's people." I love this kind of a commitment. And I think that it's a kind of a covenant that we all need to make and we need to renew time by time. That covenant to be God's man, God's woman, God's people. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to put the Lord first. We're going to keep the Lord first in our lives. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. The frightening thing about the whole issue is that there are so many parallels between the nation of Israel and the United States. And as we see the decline, as we see the turning away from God by the nation that was founded and established by God, established as God's people, but as they began to turn away from God, the calamities that began to befall the nation, tragedies that began to come. Here's a sign of hope. The covenant being made by the priest. In reality, you know, as well as I know, that a 7-year-old boy doesn't really have any power in reigning. He's a puppet. He's just a figurehead on the throne because he's a descendant of David. Jehoiada was the real power behind the throne at this point. He was the priest, and he was the real strength and power behind the throne. But it's good, because he is leading in a spiritual reform. He's making the covenant to bring the people back to the Lord, to be the Lord's people. Then all the people went to the house of Baal that Athaliah had built near the temple of God, that horrible profaning of the things of God right there near the courts of the Lord. And they broke it down. They broke down the altars and the images. They smashed them to pieces. And they slew Matan, who was the priest of Baal, there before the altars of Baal. They wiped out this horrible pagan religion of which the scripture said was causing the children of Israel to commit fornication, spiritual fornication, and the whoredoms. as they went a-whoring after the other gods, forsaking their true God and the living God. And so Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord, to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and singing, as was ordained by David. So he reinstituted the worship in the temple that had, of course, declined under the wicked reigns of Ahaziah and Athaliah. And so now he restores the order of the priest. He restores the sacrifices, and he restores the temple worship, the singing and the praises as they offered their sacrifices unto God. And he set the porters at the gates of the house of the Lord, the guards that were there, and none which were unclean could enter into the temple precinct. And he took the captains of the hundreds and the nobles and the governors of the people and all the people of the land, and he brought down the king from the house of the Lord, and they came through the high gate into the king's house, and he set the king upon the throne of the kingdom. So he established this little 7-year-old boy, the last living descendant who wasn't slain because he was hid by the nurse. And Joash is now sitting there upon the throne, a little 7-year-old boy. Crown king. All the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after they had slain Athaliah with the sword. So peace had come, a quietness, and a time of prosperity. And so under this godly influence, there were spiritual reforms. The temple that was built by Athaliah for Baal was destroyed. The priest of the temple was killed. And in chapter 24 now, we read that Joash was just 7 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all of the days of Jehoiada the priest, as long as Jehoiada lived. And he did live a long time, 130 years. But as long as Jehoiada lived, under the influence of this priest who more or less raised him as his own son, Joash was faithful to the Lord. He was a good king. And Jehoiada took for him 2 wives, and he begat sons and daughters. Now it came to pass after this that Joash, the king, was wanting to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites, and he said to them, "Go out into the cities of Judah, gather of all of Israel the money to strengthen the house of your God from year to year." The word repair there in each verse is a different Hebrew word. The one means to repair, verse 4, as we think of it. The other is to strengthen, in verse 5. The house of your God from year to year, and see that you hasten the matter. But howbeit, the Levites hasten not. So here is the young king, and he's wanting to see the repairs made to the house of the Lord under the period of spiritual decline. Under Amaziah and Athaliah, the temple actually went into a state of disrepair. When they built the temple to Baal, they more or less sacked the temple that had been built by Solomon, taking stones from it and taking doors and so forth, and using it in the temple of Baal. And so now, this young king, Joash, of course, he's older now, he's married now, but he sees the temple of God and it's in a state of disrepair, and he feels that they should just go ahead and repair it. So he comes to the priest, which would be logical, and he said, "As you go throughout the land, gather from the people, as Moses commanded in the law, gather them the money that we might bring it in and repair the house of the Lord." But a time went by, and there was nothing done. The priest did not act upon the commandment of the king. And so the king called Jehoiada, his friend, the chief. And he said to him, "Why have you not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? Why haven't you done it? I ordered you to do it. Why hasn't it been done?" For, of course, and this is the commentary made by the writer, the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, have broken up the house of God and also all of the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Baalim. So the wicked sons of Athaliah, the princes of the land, had destroyed the house of the Lord using it to build the temple to Baalim. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest, and they set it outside of the gate of the house of the Lord. And so they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, had laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all of the princes and all of the people rejoiced, and they brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. It is interesting how that when the people give an opportunity, they always responded in their desire to develop a place to worship God. You remember in the wilderness when Moses was going to build the tabernacle and all of the instruments for the tabernacle with the gold and the silver and so forth, that they announced to the people of Israel, "Now bring in your gold and the silver, your offerings, that we might build this tabernacle to the Lord." And the people gave in such abundance that they finally had to say, hold it, that's enough. We don't need any more. We've got all that we need to do the work. The same was true in the gathering of the funds for the building of the temple. There was an abundance. And now again, the people, given opportunity, respond as they are notified that we want to repair the house of the Lord, the place to worship God. And so this chest was set out each day, and then they would bring it in at night and they would count the money, and soon they had sufficient to go ahead with the work. And all of the princes and all the people rejoiced as they gave. And that's the only way that a person should give to God. In the New Testament, it declares that our giving should never be out of constraint. It should never be out of pressure. It is absolutely wrong for a man to stand up before you and seek to constrain you or pressure you to give to God. That is not scriptural. In fact, that is unscriptural. The scriptural way of giving is, let each one purpose in his own heart, and so let him give, because God loves a cheerful, or in the Greek, a hilarious giver. And so your giving should always be with rejoicing, just loving it that you can give to God, but never, never out of pressure, not because someone is up there and haranguing you, pressuring you, constraining you. That's unscriptural. So the people rejoiced, and they brought in, they cast into the chest. Now it came to pass, when the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came, and they emptied the chest. They took it and carried it to the place again, and thus they did day by day, and they gathered money in abundance. Or even they come in and dump the money in the treasury, and then set the box out there again the next day. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord. So they hired the carpenters and the masons and those that would repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought in iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was completed by them, and they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, vessels to minister, to offer, with the spoons, the vessels of gold and silver, and they offered the burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. So the temple worship was restored. The temple itself was restored. There was a outward spiritual movement. But Jehoiada waxed old, was full of days when he died at 130 years old. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and towards the Lord's house. That's a great commendation for the man. He did good for the Lord and toward the Lord's house. But after the death of Jehoiada, the princes of Judah made obeisance to the king, and the king hearkened to them. Joash evidently was a weak man, easily influenced. As long as Jehoiada was alive, exercising spiritual influence over him, he did well. They initiated the spiritual reforms. They had instituted afresh the worship of the house of God. But as soon as Jehoiada died, the princes of Judah came to him and did obeisance to him, and no doubt requested that they be allowed to again establish the worship of Ashtoreth and idols. For they left the house of Jehovah, God of their fathers, and they served the Asherim and the idols, and the wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their trespass. And yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. So at the death of Jehoiada, there was an immediate spiritual nosedive. Strange indeed how that the people can often be serving God on the surface, but in their hearts, there is still idolatry. That concerns me very deeply. We have seen even in our lifetime certain spiritual movements where it became sort of the in thing to say, I'm a Christian or I'm born again. It was a movement. But in many cases, only shallow, only surface. In their hearts, there was still idolatry. And as soon as the movement passed, so many fell right back into the old patterns of the old life and began to worship Asherim and their idols once again. Such was the case in Judah. In the hearts of the princes, though they, went along with the system, as soon as Jehoiada died, they came and asked the king that they might reinstitute the worship of Asherim, which was the worship of the female sex goddess, the Ashtoreth or the Ashtart or the Venus of the Greeks. And the prophets came and they began to prophesy against the wickedness, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, who was the son of this godly priest, Jehoiada, that had raised Joash. So Zechariah was probably well known to Joash because he is the son of Jehoiada. And Zechariah came and he stood above the people and he said to them, thus saith God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. So the question, why do something in which you can never prosper? Forsaking God, you'll never prosper if you forsake the Lord. Why would you take this path in which you cannot prosper? Jesus said, what would it prosper a man or profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Going after worldliness can never bring you spiritual prosperity. Why would you do it, he said. And because you have forsaken the Lord, he has forsaken you.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with the fall of Joash. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord bless you and guide you as you go this week. May the Lord give you strength, and may you walk and live after the Spirit, and may you respond after the Spirit. May your life be pleasing unto God as our actions come into harmony with our declarations of what we believe. May we show it in the works that we do. In Jesus' name.
As Easter is approaching, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is on the hearts of Christians everywhere and how they might witness this beautiful story to their loved ones. With this in mind, The Word for Today would like to present a special MP3 entitled My Redeemer Lives that includes 14 reassuring messages to answer the significance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and a life that should bring hope to everyone. Also included is a special presentation of the crucifixion from a doctor's perspective, as well as a powerful salvation message shared by Pastor Chuck. And when you order My Redeemer Lives MP3, we'll include a free CD by Pastor Chuck to witness to your loved ones that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. This CD, entitled A Risen Love, clearly presents the evidence to help others make a decision that will impact their immediate and eternal future. For more information, contact The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.